to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams is now live on InfoWars.com.
And welcome to Counterthink with Mike Adams. I'm your host today. This broadcast features a live interview with Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, who joins us in studio today. We're going to be talking about CDC science fraud, vaccine safety, immunization science, and other interesting topics. Be sure to check out every episode of Counterthink at counterthink.com. It airs, of course, every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Central at InfoWars.com, but you can also catch the episodes on counterthink.com if you miss them on InfoWars. Thank you for joining me. We've had a lot of positive feedback about the episodes that have aired so far, and my job, of course, is to bring you very knowledgeable and interesting guests and ask them intelligent questions about the way the world works around us. There's no better example of that than Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, who we're very fortunate that she's able to join us here in studio because she doesn't do a lot of interviews, and especially not in person. But we'll ask her about that and what's been going on with her life here in a second. Let me give you a little bit of background of Dr. Humphreys and the CDC, and then we'll bring her in at the opening of the next segment. First of all, the CDC, as you probably know, is widely known to be a fraudulent science organization. They hide science. They twist science. They exist to largely protect the interests of the vaccine industry and to suppress legitimate scientific questions about vaccine ingredients or vaccine safety or the impact of vaccines on children, especially. So the CDC has raised a lot of red flags in the minds of people who care about humanity. If you have a heart, if you're a human being and you have compassion and empathy and you dare to ask questions about vaccine safety, then you are, of course, slandered, smeared, attacked, defamed, deplatformed, oppressed, and everything else. Sometimes you're sued for daring to say these things, ask these questions that society needs to consider. And that's why we have to have these conversations. And that's why I have this show, Counterthink. This is about countering the propaganda of the false mainstream narrative. So let me introduce that very quickly here. The mainstream narrative says, and the CDC says, essentially, that all vaccines are perfectly safe, that they have zero risks whatsoever, even though they are a medical intervention. And there's no such thing as a medical intervention that doesn't have some level of risk. We're told that vaccines have zero risk, and that they work all the time. Now, in some studies, they admit that, oh, the flu vaccine didn't work this year. It's the wrong strain that year. They admit it doesn't work. But in terms of the overall narrative from the news media, we're essentially told through implication that vaccines always work and that everybody should always get one. And we're told that anyone who dares question vaccines is anti-science. And yet, think about how fascinating that is. In this show, I mean, I'm a scientist. I run a science lab. Dr. Suzanne Humphreys is a medical doctor. She has a science background, of course, well-versed in areas of science. She has a book and a website called Dissolving Illusions. The website is dissolvingillusions.com. And she does a scientific analysis and review of the history of immunology and vaccine efficacy, you might say. So she has a scientific background, as I do in my own way, in laboratory analytical science. And we dare to ask these questions, and yet we will be called anti-science for engaging in the scientific process of asking tough questions and demanding those who promote the current status quo, we demand that they defend their scientific conclusions. That's the scientific process. You ask questions, you ask the other side to present evidence, and then you look at the evidence and make a rational conclusion based on the evidence out there. Yet today's vaccine industry says you can't ask questions. Any evidence that contradicts their current system is automatically discounted or discarded. And any person who dares to raise those questions is immediately, well, slandered, defamed, you know, all those things, censored. So we are here at Counterthink to counter that propaganda narrative of the vaccine industry. And we're going to do it with many interesting guests, including the one we have coming up in the opening of the next segment. Dr. Suzanne Humphreys joins us in studio. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this break as Counterthink continues. Stay tuned.
What you're told without knowing why is what they want.
Counterthink with Mike Adams.
You're watching Counterthink with Mike Adams, and our guest in this segment is Dr. Suzanne Humphreys. She's the author of Dissolving Illusions, as well as an autobiography called Rising from the Dead. And if you read it, you'll understand why that title is so appropriate, because of what she has gone through as a truth teller on many issues of medicine, science, technology, vaccines, and so on. She joins us in studios here at the InfoWars Studios in Austin, Texas. Dr. Humphreys, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
You know, it's a real honor to have you here on the show. I'm a great admirer of your work, of course, and your courage, most importantly. Give us a little bit of background for those who maybe aren't familiar with your work. What's your background, and how did you get into, asking tough questions of the medical establishment?
Okay. Well, I started out with a bachelor's degree in physics, and I didn't really know where I was going from there. So I was the head technician in a microbiology lab for a couple of years at the medical school that I ended up going to. And what gave me the courage to go to medical school, funny enough, was seeing that the medical students weren't quite as bright as I thought they were. Initially, I thought they were like gods. I put them up on a pedestal, and then some of them rotated through my lab, and I noticed if they could do it, I could do it. So I started out with really very no self-esteem, intellectual esteem. I didn't come from a family of physicians. I'm the first person to graduate from college, actually high school, in my family. So, that's important to just put on the side for a second, because it made me a little bit easier to intimidate in the beginning, and I had to kind of overcome that to get to the point where I am today. And it's important to know that I'm not like some super scholar. I don't pretend to be an expert at anything. What I am is I'm somebody who works really hard to try to understand things.
But that's what makes an expert, though.
But, an expert stops learning, I think, to some degree. And I think we all have to be humble enough to say that there are still things that we don't know.
Sure.
While I might know more than somebody who hasn't done anything or somebody who didn't do as much as I do, fine. But, yes.
But what I've noticed about you is you're incredibly determined to keep digging and keep learning and keep asking questions, which has always been the root of scientific development and even the advancement of medicine in the classic sense. But yet today we all find ourselves at a place where we're told to stop. This is the boundary. You can't ask questions beyond this point. So at what point in your career did you begin to understand that maybe you weren't being taught the whole story?
That took a while. I was somewhat alternative-minded before I went to medical school, but I still believe in conventional medicine. And
sure.
If I had an issue, I went right to a conventional doctor first. And then I thought, like, the stuff on the outside that I do predominantly today was kind of just adjunct and maybe just to help you a little bit along. So I didn't really get it until I met Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and she kind of cracked the visage in front of me completely open, where it was just had a little slice in it at first. So that was probably not until about 2009 or 2010.
But in what way? What bombshell did she hit you with?
She showed me how it wasn't just the vaccines that were the problem, because at first that's all I saw. And that's why they don't want us to understand this, because I don't like to talk in general terms, they and us, but there's obviously a war going on here. And, most of the doctors I worked with are not the people I'm saying they. So Sherry just basically said, vaccines are the backbone of the whole pharmaceutical industry, and they keep people sick, and that's what's so profitable. And at first, I just rejected that idea. I said, that's completely crazy.
Because that contradicted everything you'd been taught in medical school, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
And so I paid attention. I started thinking. I started understanding physiology better than what was told to me. I realized that I wasn't taught anything about vaccines. But the thing that really pushed me to even find Sherry Tenpenny was the administration in my hospital telling me that what I saw in front of my own eyes didn't happen, and that the science shows that even if it did happen, it's one in a million. And it was the push against me that really made me go researching.
Sorry to interrupt, but what did you see?
I saw my own patients having kidney failure after they were vaccinated within 24 hours sometimes.
And then
others long term.
Okay.
I won't say that it happened a lot. It wasn't like the waiting room was full of these people, but it happened. And when I wrote what my analysis was in the chart, because nobody else could find a cause, And so they would just chalk it up and say it's idiopathic. And I'd go, wait a minute, this person had a vaccine a week ago, or this person had a vaccine yesterday morning. And look what's in a vaccine. Well, let's see. Do you even know what's in a vaccine?
There you go.
No, actually, I had no idea what was in a vaccine.
Well, if you start peeling back that, now you know, modern doctors and pharmacists have no idea what's in a vaccine. I have never met a doctor that has any idea what's in them, because you and I know, you know, the ingredients include formaldehyde, antibiotics, monosodium glutamate, aluminum salts, dimerosal, which contains mercury, and many, many other crazy ingredients as well. Which of those ingredients do you think might have been causing the kidney problems?
I believe that it's really the inflammation that causes the kidney problems, because kidneys shut down in the face of sepsis, in the face of any kind of really inflammatory insult. They don't like it. They're very sensitive to it. So, you know, you can take your pick. I think just the physiology of a vaccine is enough. Even if you made a safe vaccine, I shouldn't say that. They're working on vaccines now that don't cause so much inflammation.
But they deliberately want them to be inflammatory. They add these what are called adjuvants.
That's right.
Ingredients like squalene, for example, to cause inflammation, because they have people with weakened immune systems, right? And they don't have an antibody response that's very strong in a normal case. So they add these irritants, these inflammatory agents to the vaccines, so that there's a stronger antibody response from immune suppressed individuals. Is that correct?
Right. So the subunit vaccines have aluminum in general. Other adjuvants have been used, but aluminum is the major one. So the live vaccines don't have adjuvants, because just being a live microorganism is enough to cause that inflammation.
Right.
So the killed microorganisms are the subunit vaccines that contain aluminum, and the flu shot, which doesn't contain aluminum, that's a special one, but that also triggers massive amounts of inflammation. It also has mercury in it, which it's not there as an adjuvant, but it does cause inflammation. So those components there definitely have potential to cause problems within any organ, not just the kidneys.
And what's fascinating, you know, I review hundreds of science and medicine headlines daily, because I run a whole content team that covers this. You know, we publish all these websites. I see on a regular basis that inflammation is linked to heart disease. Inflammation is linked to Alzheimer's. Inflammation is linked to cancer. And just on and on. All of these neurological and physiological conditions are linked to inflammation, systemic inflammation. And you're saying the vaccines are designed, to have inflammatory properties, or they have that effect. And so you saw kidneys being damaged.
Right.
But, you're a specialist in nephrology and kidney health, but maybe a heart doctor would have noticed, you know, cardiovascular problems, or a neurology expert would have noticed, you know, neurological disorders and autism and so on. Is that a fair statement?
Definitely. So what we have to understand here is that the inflammation happens throughout the body, but some organs are more sensitive than others. The brain is a very sensitive organ. The heart is a very important organ, maybe not quite as sensitive as the brain. Kidneys are very sensitive. So vaccines are very clumsy substances in the formulation that they are in now. And I'll just say they're working on vaccines that don't cause this kind of inflammation, but still trigger some sort of memory, okay? It's kind of a Frankenscience that's happening right now in the labs. But the ones that we have now are very clumsily made, in the sense, some in the past have even CDC people and scientists have said it's basically a witch's brew of some sort. You know, they've clumsily
vaccine
said this
voodoo.
In the past before too. Yeah, accidentally said. I have the quotes from the sources, and then you know, somebody, the editor, comes along and says, take that out, and then they're reposted. But let me just say that I can't read my own writing because without my glasses. What vaccines do is cause what I consider an immune system psychosis. Uh-huh. It's really the only way to look at it, because it's not just the inflammation. There are things that are happening that we can't even measure, and we're beginning to see that we didn't know happened before. So there's some parts get ramped up, some parts, you know, get toned down. And what the end result is that there's something happening there that shouldn't be happening. And it's very different than contracting the disease.
Yeah, it's a non-natural intervention. It's an artificial intervention that has risks that aren't present when someone is naturally exposed to something like chickenpox, for example. But we're going to go to a break here. But stay with us, Dr. Humphreys. And for those of you watching, fascinating interview. A lot more yet to come. I've got many fascinating questions for Dr. Humphreys on the other side of this break. You're watching Counterthink with Mike Adams. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more.
to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams is now live on InfoWars.com.
I'm Mike Adams, the host of Counterthink, and today we are joined by Dr. Suzanne Humphreys in studio, a rare special appearance. And thank you. Thank you for being here, by the way. It's a real honor to have you here. Let me read you a quote from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who calls the CDC, quote, an edifice of fraud. Now, what's interesting about this is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he runs the World Mercury Project, and of course, he is a progressive. And other people on this issue might be more libertarian or conservative. Thing is, this is above any politics. This is about humanity and human health and human children. But people are waking up across the political spectrum. Here's what he says, quote, all things that I do are bent on forcing this vaccine debate out into the open, because once the science is in the open, the CDC's position is so fragile, it's an edifice of fraud. Fraud stacked upon fraud, so high and so wobbly that even the slightest breeze of public scrutiny will topple it. Does that sound like an accurate assessment of where we are in vaccine science fraud today?
I would have to say that I've, along the road that I've been traveling, that's I'm headed to the place of the same exact conclusion. And it's really the difference between being progressive and being regressive. The CDC is regressive. Our children, our population is regressing at the same time that the CDC is coming along with all of their help. And their help is correlating with regression of society, regression of health. And they keep telling us, no, this is good for you. No, this is good for you. No, the science is wonderful, but you can't see it. So Robert F. Kennedy is absolutely right. And the truth will set us all free. And that is a true statement. It's been a true statement for the longest time. And we should not have to have this lack of transparency in order to have a belief in vaccination or drugs or anything else that the CDC is recommending.
It has, Robert F. Kennedy has really come to an awakening on this, as you did and I did many years earlier. But his awakening, he's come to the realization that the vaccine so-called science, that cartel of enforcers and obedience demanders and so on, that they aren't running science. They're running a faith-based system, almost you might call it a cult, or I've called it a cult. My words, not yours. But it's a cult-like attitude where every question that contradicts their current belief system is eradicated, and yet you have to bow down and worship that cult in order to be accepted into the system of science and medicine that currently dominates the Western medical landscape, which, by the way, is failing and collapsing. I mean, people aren't healthier today. Cancer rates are rising. The medications are killing people. You know, more children are autistic today than ever before in human history. I mean, the system's failing.
That's right. Absolutely. Did you have a question there?
Well, here comes your science side. Was there a question in that?
Yeah, story? No, I mean, to me, it's just so obvious. And I think, as you say, people are waking up. And it was definitely, you know, I think for Robert Kennedy and for you and for a lot of us, you know, because we like to have knowledge about our beliefs, okay, first. We like to have the knowledge before that we go searching. And in the beginning, we might still think there are some things about the CDC that are okay. And there still may be. I'm not aware of what they are currently. But as far as vaccines go, that's what I know. And there's no doubt about it that that we have major trouble here. We have really what's probably, I'm guessing, is a more of a pyramid scheme, because we're talking about huge financial gains to a core group of people at the top that are kind of dictating what happens a level below them. And I always say to people, look, I don't know who's at the top. I never met the Rockefellers. I never met Bill Gates. I never met any CEO of a pharmaceutical company. I'm a doctor down near the bottom of this pyramid in this pyramid scheme. And then my patients are kind of below me and around me. And what's happening down here does not add up.
Well, here's a headline from CDC.news. That's a website that we publish that's critical of the CDC. The CDC is a vaccine company, owns 56 vaccines.
Right.
A grave conflict of interest.
I didn't know that when I was a conventional medical specialist.
Exactly. They never tell you that. Autism risk 420% higher in vaccinated children versus non-vaccinated children, published science confirms. Now, I don't have these headlines in front of me right now, but I remember publishing other headlines that CDC funded studies show vaccines in pregnant women cause an increased risk of autism in newborns, for example. And that was accidentally funded by the CDC. You know, they didn't like the results. But if you go through the industry, what you find is kind of what you described, a pyramid scheme, or at least a financial, a money-making scheme that preys upon the continuation of disease and suffering, that does not offer the cures and the prevention that they claim to offer. And we live in a society today where people like General Michael Flynn have been indicted for lying to the government, and yet you've got the CDC lying to everyone and putting lives at risk, and nobody gets indicted. Nobody goes to jail.
Right.
What's wrong with this picture?
Right. You know, I'm not against people making money. I think when people are doing great things that they should prosper.
Yeah, but not making money poisoning children.
That's, right. Well, the problem here is that we don't have a kind of a passive system that's profiting passively. They're aggressive, and they've gotten to the point of ridiculous aggression, actually, where even people who used to be asleep are being pounded awake by their ridiculous aggression and their mandates to make us take their product, to put it into the laws. And so now it's this mixture of this pyramid scheme being infiltrating the legal system. And that's where you really run into the big problems.
So you might be referring to California law SB 277, vaccine mandate there, where if you don't get your children vaccinated, then the state denies them access to an education. And then now the new news out of California is they're working on ways to outlaw homeschooling. So, right. So the one exception to the public school, like, oh, you don't want to get your kid vaccinated, so you homeschool them, then they're going to outlaw homeschooling. And what? They're just going to come kidnap your children, basically.
I mean, they're really on the hunt for profit. They're on the hunt for complete domination. And so it's okay that some of us are waking up. I think they look at us and they go, okay, we have to crush them before there are too many of them awake. And that's really kind of the battle line that's happening right now.
It's like we're all Kanye.
I don't really know what that means, but I'm sure it's really funny.
Well, yeah, you're like the white female version of Kanye West right now. You're like, okay. Here you are waking up and saying, hey, you know what? We don't have to be slaves on this plantation. We can ask questions. You know, you call it like a science plantation where everybody's supposed to be obedient and follow and do what you're told and just, you know, be this absolute obedient mind zombie. And, you know, Kanye West, he's a rapper, by the way, and a pop culture icon. He came out and started questioning the system. And then now everybody's attacking Kanye.
Okay.
You see? So that's what that's all about. We're all Kanye today here on Counterthink.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was one of the things that really shocked me the most is that I got in trouble for clarifying science. I got in big trouble for that. I didn't get fired from my job. I actually left before they could fire me. I think if I'd have stayed another year, they would have found some reason because that's kind of what was happening. That's all outlined in the autobiography. It's really a difficult place to be if you don't want to go lockstep. And it's not just California. If you want to work in the medical system, you have to get vaccinated. So it's the entire medical system. Like
true.
If I stayed, I would probably have to be vaccinated now. And I've thought about going back and going into dialysis because I truly like that. I don't want to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You don't want to be injected with inflammatory toxic chemicals and heavy metals that damage your brain. Why? What? You don't love America? What's wrong with you? All right, you're watching Counterthink. Dr. Suzanne Humphreys is our guest, and I'm your host, Mike Adams. We'll be right back after this break. Don't miss the episodes at counterthink.com. We'll be right back.
Prepare to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams, live on Infowars.com.
You're watching Counterthink. This is Mike Adams, your host, and today's guest is Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, author of Dissolving Illusions, and another book called Rising from the Dead, an autobiography of her struggles with telling the truth about vaccines and other issues. If the car industry were granted legal immunity from all accidents or defects regarding car manufacturing, people would think that was crazy. You know, because car manufacturers should be held accountable for the quality of their cars, right? That's what people generally tend to agree with. But the vaccine industry, for vaccines that are listed on the childhood immunization schedule, vaccine companies are granted absolute legal immunity and cannot be sued through the regular court system when their vaccines are faulty and cause harm to children. So, Dr. Humphreys, one of my questions for you in this segment is, Why does America put up with that situation where a drug maker can be held liable for a pharmaceutical that damages someone? And there are lawsuits all the time about that. What is it about vaccines? I mean, if they're so safe and so perfect, why do they need legal immunity?
Okay.
And how did the vaccine industry manage to get this legal immunity?
Well, you have to start with the fact that we all have to believe that diseases are very, very deadly, and that we could be playing roulette and it could just kill us, the people we love, could kill young babies, pregnant women.
You're saying this is what the vaccine industry is pushing.
So that's what it's based on, because if you don't have that, you can't do this. And that's the difference between the car seat and the vaccine. And that's the difference between Bill Gates running around screaming now that we're going to have some 30 million people die from some pandemic. What is this? This computer guy's telling the CDC that we have to be armed and be ready. Oh, by the way, they happen to have a new flu vaccine ready to deploy. But it has to first be that diseases are so scary and deadly. Measles, it's scary and deadly, and 20,000 people die every year, and people die from it. It's very bad, and you can go deaf, and you can have encephalopathy.
So there's all this panic and hysteria that they're pushing.
Because that's how it used to be, and that's why we wrote Dissolving Illusions, because what we showed is that it's no. It's not just, yes, viruses and bacteria are meant to degrade human flesh if your human flesh is in bad shape. That's really what they're here to do. They're here to degrade things. So if you're not a healthy human, yes, those things can do some, wreak some havoc. But if you're a healthy human, and today's era, especially in the United States, most people are healthy enough to be able to deal with the diseases that we started vaccinating for. Okay, so now, but now we have more diseases that are coming out of the woodwork that we need to develop vaccines for. And if you're not a good citizen, Mike Adams, and you don't take your vaccine, you're going to make someone else, put someone else at risk. If you don't wear your car seat, it's you that's going through the windshield, okay? But if you get a disease, you could give it to somebody, and that's why they get away with it.
Right, they're saying you're a bad person because you might be contagious and you might give the disease to someone else. But yet, you've got all these people that don't take care of their health. They are immunosuppressed. They have poor health habits, poor nutrition. They're the ones who get sick, and often they're vaccinated, right?
Yeah.
And they're the ones who get sick and spread it to others, even when they're
absolutely
vaccinated.
And so vaccinated people tend to have immune systems that are highly susceptible to diseases that you and I won't even sneeze over.
Right, literally.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so this mass hysteria, it's a marketing scam to sell vaccines. It's just like, you know, the drug industry.
And enable the pharmaceutical companies, because we can't let them collapse. We can't reject vaccines. The poor guys, they were about to go out of business. And we, you know, around the time of polio, we had to make special rules after that to protect them.
Oh, and of course, and then they memory hold the truth that up to 98 million Americans were injected with simian cancer viruses through polio vaccines.
That was just a stumbling block. Paul Offit's book, The Cutter Incident. It's just a stumbling block. They worked it out, and we should be glad, because look, polio's gone, Mike. Oh. Come on, it was all worth it in the end, and it's all worth that 1 in a million baby dying as well, according to them.
But what you're saying is that if we stopped vaccinating for polio today in America, for example, where there's virtually no polio, the CDC would claim that polio would make a return and we would all die of polio. But what you're saying is if we stop vaccinating for polio, it really wouldn't make a return. It wouldn't kill a bunch of people in America.
If we stop vaccinating for influenza, we would have far less polio in the United States today. We have plenty of polio in the United States today. It just happens to be called transverse myelitis, which happens after vaccinations, after certain drugs, after tick bites, Lyme disease. Polio is still alive and well. If we stopped vaccinating, it wouldn't make any difference, because the vaccine that we use today does not stop transmission at all.
Okay, so now you're really getting to it. So I'm familiar with a term called immunization-induced polio or vaccine-induced polio.
Provocation polio. Any surgery, any kind of injection could have caused that.
Right. So a lot of these diseases or conditions that are diagnosed in individuals as being polio are actually induced by vaccines, is what you're saying, correct?
Absolutely. Not just vaccines, but there are other entities that are not poliovirus. So, for instance, we know for a fact from a study done in Michigan that back in the time during the epidemics, when they finally checked to see what people were becoming paralyzed and crippled, they had other enteroviruses, echoviruses, Coxsackie virus, not poliovirus, or they had no virus detectable at all.
So, wow, what about
chemicals?
It's the ultimate medical scam. You inject people with chemicals until they become symptomatic, and then you claim there's an outbreak of some disease, And then you claim that vaccines have to be deployed across the world in order to treat those symptoms and eliminate that disease. And then the more people get injected, the more people have disease, and the cycle just continues.
It's a self-propagating system that we have here. If you just look at the influenza vaccine or the pertussis vaccine, both of those vaccines actually create worse disease in the environment for us to actually catch. So while the influenza virus, if we'd never had a flu vaccine, might have affected me once or twice in my lifetime, because I've had vaccines, I'm more susceptible now to pandemic strains. So people that get vaccinated transmit it quicker and easier and are more susceptible.
That's what's fascinating to me. And I've written about this before too. It's as if these policies, and this is echoing what you just said, that the CDC's vaccine propaganda and these vaccine mandates are setting up humanity for a future pandemic wipeout.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things we also discussed that in Dissolving Illusions, because there is this idea that someday we won't have to vaccinate for polio anymore. And this has been discussed amongst the upper echelons in the Ivy Tower. And at that point, the biggest risk will be what's left in the laboratories. And they're never going to get rid of the viruses that are left in the laboratories if they think they eradicated whatever they're calling the polio virus from the planet. It doesn't make any sense. If we get rid of measles, you know, even if we do get rid of measles, they're never going to stop the measles vaccine because it's so beneficial to the immune system. That's one of the talks I did called Manufactured Consent that people need to watch, because I go through that entire political and medical lie there.
Wow. Wow. But the other thing, though, is that this whole idea of vaccines is that they say you're born in sin, in medical sin, that you're born as an incomplete human being, that your immune system is not good enough by itself. You have to immediately have these chemical interventions in order to be a complete human being. That's why the minute you're born, they rush the baby out. They start injecting the child with all these different vaccines, and it continues on, you know, to age 18 and beyond.
Absolutely. Well, I also had no knowledge of the infant immune system. I was an adult nephrologist. One of the first things I had to do was go study the infant immune system. And what I found is that there's a whole new area of science and scientists saying that, wait a minute, no, the infant immune system isn't paralyzed. It's not inefficient. It's not anything. It's what it's supposed to be while it's learning, so it doesn't become autoimmune later. And so it can actually respond. It's perfect. You have to leave it alone.
That's the other thing, is that the vaccine industry is always pushing more and more vaccines at younger and younger ages when you have a non-fully developed infant immune system, as you were just saying.
Right.
And some vaccine safety could be achieved just by delaying current vaccines to later years in childhood, couldn't they?
Some, but you could never guarantee the safety of a vaccine.
I know. I'm just saying they could.
It's definitely better to wait longer, it's just my opinion, as far as the dosages are concerned and as far as the potential for organ malfunction. Absolutely.
Well, some of these cases are ridiculous. Like they're giving, you know, HPV vaccines to, I don't know, 6-year-olds. You know, I mean, hopefully 6-year-olds aren't sexually active to where they need these sorts of vaccines. It's just, none of it makes any sense.
Premature babies are vaccinated for diseases, sometimes up to 8 diseases. And the neonatal intensive care unit people are ready with caffeine therapy, they call it. And the respirators are on call. And the medical literature shows that those babies have a higher incidence of cardiopulmonary problems. Now, if that baby's at home the night it goes to sleep, you don't have caffeine therapy. You don't have respirator.
Right. And then the parents get blamed for murdering their baby. Yeah. This is Counterthink. We'll be right back after this break with our last segment, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys.
Warning. Take the red pill before viewing. Counterthink with Mike Adams.
It's shocking. The New York Times confirms a Natural News report, an investigation, by admitting that mumps is spread mostly by vaccinated children. Check this out. The New York Times confirms that they say in an article called Mumps Makes a Comeback Even Among the Vaccinated. The New York Times admits that vaccinated children are spreading mumps. And they say, quote, most of the recent cases occurred in outbreaks, including a large one in Arkansas. And most of the outbreaks were among people 18 to 22 years old, most of whom had the requisite 2 doses of mumps vaccine in childhood. They were quoting Dr. Routh, we are seeing it in a very young and very highly vaccinated population. So here we have the New York Times, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, the New York Times. Now, saying the things that you and I have been saying for many years, things for which we have been attacked as, you know, called anti-science and so on. And yet the New York Times is saying it now, today, years after you said it. So why isn't the whole world apologizing to you for saying some of this first? Now the New York Times might as well just be quoting you.
Because mumps is so terrible that we can't apologize for any malfunction of the vaccine. It's any vaccine is better than no vaccine.
You're being,
and if you've
this
had
is a satire, just for the,
but this is the reason, really.
Right.
And if you've had two vaccines, then you need three vaccines. If you've had three, you need four, because the more vaccines, the better. Because we can't let mumps keep going around in 100% vaccinated populations, like's been happening.
So there's always plus one. There's one more vaccine needed.
Well, that's what happens. You know that. I mean, the vaccine doesn't work. Okay, it's a dud. There's some scientists that are suing Merck over this dud vaccine. It's old. It's 40, 50 years old. It's been passaged so many times. They had to fake the studies to show that it actually has efficacy. They had to use an intensive care unit, feeble mumps vaccine to test the subjects to show that they were immune, because they wouldn't be immune to the wild type.
Right.
Okay. It's so bad. And so, yes, it's failing in sometimes 100% vaccinated populations. You don't catch the disease by getting it from a vaccinated person because they're shedding. Let's just be clear about that. It's because they don't really have immunity to the actual mumps.
I see. So they're transmitting the live mumps in the wild.
That's right.
And the vaccine is basically useless.
It's almost useless.
In the case of mumps.
Yes.
Are there any vaccines?
One other thing about mumps is that, you know, when you look at studies and you look at these data numbers, just know that when they tell you that what percent was vaccinated and unvaccinated, if you can't produce your record, like if you got a case of mumps and you said, but wait a minute, I just had a vaccine, you know, 5 years ago, they'd say, doesn't matter. You can't show us your record. You're listed as unvaccinated.
Oh, I see. So they're vastly overestimating the number of unvaccinated
that's
people.
Right. And that's one of the ways that it's done with the mumps.
Well, we keep seeing stories where outbreaks in public schools, for example, among school children, are occurring among children who are almost entirely fully vaccinated. This is happening again and again. And even when the New York Times reports this now, you know, we are still attacked for saying this, that is coming out, that is self-evident almost at this point. It's certainly backed up by the science. When does this start to turn, you think?
That's my point of frustration, because I feel that I've showed with mountains of evidence that the pertussis vaccine, we have the same problem with that. That we're having evolving problems with the measles vaccines. That the flu vaccine, and I've shown the data. I've shown their medical literature. You talked in the beginning about vaccines are 100% effective, and that's what the CDC says. But you know, the medical literature doesn't say that. The medical literature says nothing of the sort. It doesn't say that they're safe. It doesn't say that they're effective. It says they're mostly safe and they're mostly effective. So we have to go always back to the medical literature. And there's a ton of evidence that what we are hearing from the CDC scientists is not actually true.
Okay, you're absolutely right about that. Here's another thing I want your opinion on. The immunity, the legal immunity that's given to the vaccine companies was granted to them for any vaccine that's on the childhood immunization schedule, regardless of what the ingredients are. Now, does this make any sense to you, where they say you're given total legal immunity, you can put anything you want in it? They didn't say you're given legal immunity as long as you don't put poison in the vaccine or heavy metals or mercury or things like that. It was like, just go for it, dump anything in there and inject it into kids, you're all good.
But again, vaccines are so important because diseases are so terrible that's the way that it had to be done.
But how can they justify this scientifically when many ingredients are toxic to human neurology?
When the law was passed, there weren't as many people that were awake. Even Barbara Loewy Fisher back in that time didn't know what she knows today. I mean, if you just look at the path she's traveled down. So now we've got more people that understand, that are talking about it. The deluded science-minded parents who have cognitive dissonance, they happen to know more than their doctors. We've got people that have this information now. So this is why we're seeing the backlash that's happening, because we're not allowed to think for ourselves and see the truth.
There's a lot of censorship of people like you and me. You've been targeted for censorship. You've had public events threatened or canceled, things like that, right?
I haven't had anything canceled. No, I haven't had anything canceled. But you and I have spoke about, ever since I started speaking publicly, I've had threats. I've had death threats. I've had hate mail. Nothing that really affected me very strongly until just this January, when a few emails came through my inbox that were different.
Okay, I want to ask you about that on another episode, by the way. I want to have you back But just the overall censorship of your message seems to be very, very powerful. You know, YouTube, Facebook, Google, they're censoring all of us, who are engaged in independent science.
Yeah, I never felt that I was that important enough to be individually censored. I think I'm just getting censored along with everybody else. But personally, I've not had anything shut down or anything like that. And I think that's because I keep showing PMID numbers. I show medical literature. I'm not sitting there going, the space alien reptilians are trying to eat us. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, look at these PMID numbers here. Look at your own medical literature. Look at all these other scientists that are saying that this is not what happens, what the CDC says to the immune system. Something very different's happening. And look at what's happening evolutionarily year after year after year to these viruses as they propagate through these susceptible populations.
Uh-huh. You're daring to quote actual science. I mean, that's your crime. You know, if you think about it, the CDC is really saying more like your children are half space alien because they're not fully human until they're vaccinated.
That's right. They're just inadequate, not even born yet, really.
They're subhuman creatures.
You're not really born until you get your first vaccine, don't you know that?
There you go. And that's we could get into abortion too. That's why abortion, because you're not human until you get a vaccine shot. Then your immune system has all these other foreign viruses in it. Now you're fully qualified.
Everything's inside out and backwards, because it's the complete opposite, of course. You become less human as you get a vaccine because you acquire animal.
All right. It's unreal.
Cells and DNA.
Vaccine industry is in a panic as scientific study solves the riddle of why flu shots don't work. This was on CDC.news. They're talking about the media in which vaccines are grown, the viral strains are grown, is causing mutations of the viral strains to make them ineffective against the flu, because they're becoming adapted to the egg yolk media and other media that they're grown in. So the very process of making vaccines makes them not work in humans.
That definitely happens. And there's also any excuse possible to make the vaccine look like we still have to keep going with it. It's still worth it. Look, we're going to bring back the inhaled flu vaccine that we got rid of a few years ago. It's coming back.
They'll probably have it where when you get on a subway train, they'll just have a little blast of air from the door.
From a fan.
And you have to inhale a vaccine. That'll be the Bill Gates subway transport
model.
The
better.
They'll have little Bill Gates mosquitoes that attack you and vaccinate you without your consent. The minute you enter California, there's like a mosquito swarm attacks your babies.
Well, unfortunately, it's not that outrageous what you're saying.
No, Bill Gates is working on that.
I know.
That's not pie in the sky stuff. That's like actual modern research. Well, look, we only have a couple minutes left. What final thoughts here do you want to leave people with on this topic? Because, you know, we could go so far down this rabbit hole.
Crazy. It really matters who you're talking to. I mean, I think most of your audience is really on to that there's a problem. And I would say it's not just with vaccines. It extends to the whole system. Now, when I need medical treatment, I go and I get medical treatment. But I look at every risk-benefit ratio for everything, whether it's a pill, whether it's signing a consent form and then being knocked out. You want to know everything. You want to read about it yourself. You want to understand it. And trust nobody, only because you don't know what these people know or don't know that are giving you advice. This is a wonderful age where you can pick up your phone or go to your computer and know more than your doctor does about certain things.
But people are intimidated by false medical authority. Their doctors manage to intimidate them very easily. You know, the doctor has a uniform and a stethoscope and a diploma on the wall. People say, I don't know anything. And
why I wrote Rising from the Dead. It was just for that reason, to show people what's really going on behind closed doors in the ivory tower and what doctors really know. And that even I was intimidated by it. Really, so I can understand how parents can be intimidated, but I think that can help you feel better to know that it's really the emperor's completely stark naked.
The emperor's naked. The emperor has vaccine weapons, and he's naked, and he's a reptilian lizard from Planet Zork who wants to eat your babies with mosquitoes. Okay, but on a serious note, check out your book, Dissolving Illusions, and also your website, Dr. Humphreys,
Dr. Suzanne.net.
DrSuzanne.net.
Yes.
Okay, DrSuzanne.net. Thank you for joining us in studio
today.
You're
welcome. Thank you.
Well, there you go, folks. That's the Counterthink episode for today. Be sure to check us out every Sunday, 6 p.m. Central at Infowars.com. We'll also broadcast the episodes at Counterthink.com. This is Mike Adams with Suzanne Humphreys today. Thanks for joining us.